Chapter 30. Yuyedov struck a jarring counter note and tone that keys not with such promising. I, in these last words, then, of this pregnant peril, I trust I may persuade your excellency, too, that in no circumstance, on no pretense, a party to our pact can Russia be. Spirit sinister, fortunately for the manufacture of corpses by machinery, Napoleon sticks to this veto, and so wards off the awkward catastrophe of a general peace descending upon Europe. Now England. Rumors continuing. I, Baron, speeds down through Kent and Picardy, evenly as some southing sky bird's shade. Two, we gather not from your imperial lines a reason why our words should be reweighed. I, we hold Russia not as our ally, that is to be. She stands fully plighted so. Two, thus trembles peace upon this balance point. Will you that Russia be let in or no? I, then France rolls out rough words across the straight colon to treat with you confederate with the Tsar. Two, presumes us sunk in sloughs of shamefulness from which we yet stand gloriously afar. I, the English army must be Flanders fed, and entering Picardy with pompous prance. Two, to warrant such. Enough. Our comfort is, the crime of further strife lies not with France. Spirit of the pities, alas! What prayer will save the struggling lands, whose lives are ninepins to these bowling hands? Chorus of rumors, France secretly with Russia plights her troth. Britain, that lonely isle, is slurred by both. Spirit sinister, it is as neat as an uncovered check of chess. You may now mark Fox's blank countenance at finding himself thus rewarded for the good turn done to Bonaparte, and at the extraordinary conduct of his chilly friend the Muscovite. Spirit of the pities, his hand so trembles it can scarce retain the quill wherewith he lets Lord Yarmouth know reserve is no more needed. Spirit ironic, now enters another character of this remarkable little piece Lord Lauderdale and again the messengers fly. Spirit of the pities, but what strange figure, pale and noiseless, comes, by us perceived, unrecognized by those, into the very closet and retreat of England's minister? Spirit of the years, the tipstuffy of the will, the many masked, my good friend Death. The statesman's feeble form you may perceive now hustled into the invisible, and the unfinished game of dynasties left to proceed without him. Spirit of the pities, here, then, ends my hope for Europe's reason-wrought repose. He was the friend of peace, did his great best to shatter bombs upon humanity, and now he's gone. No substitute remains. Spirit ironic, eh? The remainder of the episode is frankly farcical. Negotiations are again affected, but finally you discern Lauderdale applying for passports, and the English Parliament declares to the nation that peace with France cannot be made. Rumors concluding, I, the smoldering dudgeon of the Prussian king, meanwhile, upon the horizon's rim afar, too, bursts into running flame, that all his signs of friendliness were met by moves for war. I attend and hear, for here he faintly may, his manifesto made at Erfurt town. Two, that to arms only dares he now confide the safety, and the honor of his crown. Spirit of the years, draw down the curtain then, and overscreen this too protracted verbal fencing scene, and let us turn to clanging foot and horse, ordnance, and all the enginery of force. Clouds close over the perspective. Scene 3, the streets of Berlin, it is afternoon, and the thoroughfares are crowded with citizens, in an excited and anxious mood. A central path is left open for some expected arrival. There enters on horseback a fair woman, whose rich brown curls stream flutteringly in the breeze, and whose long blue habit flaps against the flank of her curveting white mare. She is the renowned Louisa, Queen of Prussia, riding at the head of a regiment of hussars and wearing their uniform. As she prances along, the thronging citizens acclaim her enthusiastically. Spirit of the pities, who is this fragile fair, in fighting trim? Spirit of the years, she is the pride of Prussia, whose resolve gives ballast to the purpose of her spouse, and holds him to what men call governing. Spirit of the pities, queens have engaged in war. but war's loud trade rings with a roar unnatural, fitful, forced, practiced by woman's hands. Spirit of the years, of her view the enterprise is that of scores of men, the strength but half a one's. Spirit of the pities, what fate had ruled the valor had been his, hers but the charm. Spirit of rumor, but he has nothing on't, and as he has all. The shameless satires of the bulletins dispatched to Paris, thence the wide world through, disturb the dreams of her by those who love her, and thus her brave adventurers for the realm of blurred her picture, soiled her gentleness, and wrought her credit harm. First citizen, vociferously, yes, by God. Send an ultimatum to Paris, by God. That's what we'll do, by God. The Confederation of the Rhine was the evil thought of an evil man bent on ruining us. Second citizen, this country double-faced and double-tongued, this France, or rather say, indeed, this man, peoples are honest dealers in the mass, this man, to sign a stealthy scroll with Russia that shuts us off from all indemnities, while swearing faithful friendship with our king, and, still professing our safe word Henry, to fatten other kingdoms at our cost, insults us grossly, and makes Europe clang with echoes of our wrongs. The little states of this antique and homely German land are severed from their blood allies, and kin hereto of one tradition, interest, hope and calling lord this rank adventurer, who will thrust them as a sword against ourselves. Surely great Frederick sweats within his tomb. Third citizen, well, we awake, though we have slumbered long, and she is sent by heaven to kindle us. The queen approaches to pass back again with her suite. The vociferous applause is repeated. They regard her as she nears. To cry her Amazon, a blusterer, a brazen comrade of the bold dragoons whose uniform she dons. Her, whose each act shows, but a mettled modest woman's zeal, without a hazard of her dignity or moment's sacrifice of seemliness, to fend off ill from home. Fourth citizen, entering, the tidings fly that Russian Alexander declines with emphasis, to ratify the pact of his ambassador with France, and that the offer made the English king, to compensate the latter at our cost, has not been taken. Third citizen, and it never will be. Thus evil does not always flourish, faith. Throw down the gauge, while God is fair to us, he may be foul anon. A pause. Fifth citizen, entering. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.